Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, Buffalo sports fans? What is up, Buffalo Bills fans? This is your man, G-Money, here on the Buffalo Water Cooler Sports Talk radio station, part of Trenton White Sports Media. Welcome. Like I said, my name is G-Money. I am here live with you from 8 until 9, 9:30. We're going to talk about the Bills. We're going to talk Sabres. We're going to talk baseball, see what the Yankees are doing against the Blue Jays tonight. Got lots of stuff on the plate. But before I do that, let's get out of the way our sponsors. We got Coca-Cola and Paula's Donuts. They've been with us for a long time, and we appreciate everything that they do. So thank you, Coca-Cola. Thank you for Paula's Donuts. If you guys want to call, get in soon because we're going to have a lot of callers here tonight. 646-915-9969. That's 646-915-9969 to talk with me. Your host, G-Money, here on the Buffalo Water Coolers Monday Night Quarterback. Today is Monday, September 21st, 2015, and I appreciate everyone coming on with me tonight. And let's talk about that game yesterday, guys. Let's talk about that game, shall we? Bills lose to the Patriots 40-32 in a game that's, and when you look at the score, you would think that it's a little bit closer, but it really wasn't that close at all. The Patriots were up going into the fourth quarter, 37-17, and it kind of, 37-13, and it kind of was kind of garbage time in there in the fourth quarter. The Bills got some good yardage there in the fourth quarter, but the one thing that they couldn't do was stop Tom Brady. And newsflash, Bills fans, newsflash, sports fans out there, Tom Brady is really freaking good. He threw for 466 yards today. He threw the ball 59 times. 59 times. That is a lot of throwing the football, if you ask me. The Bills let their emotions get the best of them tonight, and that hurt them because they had 14 penalties for almost 150 yards in penalty yardage. They had 6 personal foul penalties in the first half alone. I think most of those were in the first quarter. They had a lot of holding penalties, lots of just really bad, boneheaded, kind of just where's your head at penalties. You're thinking about, you know, a disciplined team. You're looking at the Patriots. You know, they didn't have as many penalties as the Bills did. They looked composed. They looked like the Super Bowl champs. They looked like who they were supposed to be. And let's face it, they're the Patriots. As long as Tom Brady is on that team, they are going to be very, very good. And I know Bills fans were excited yesterday, as I was. You know, everybody was excited for the game. We had our man Grippy Gordon raising the money for the Guinness Book of World Records, part of the Bills Mafia. He did a great job. I'd like to give a shout-out to him for organizing, doing all the analytics, getting all the T's crossed and the I's dotted so that we could get that, get a shot at, you know, taking that sound record from the Chiefs. But didn't happen. Came close. Almost 125 decibels, which is as loud as a jet engine taking off when you're standing about 10 feet from it, which is, that's pretty loud. It'll still get some ringing in the ears. And even though that the Bills fans are very loud, we'll talk about that first real quick, because it was a great job by all the Bills Mafia out there who raised the money, who were proactive in organizing and getting the word out there, especially Grippy. He did a great job. the ambassador for the Bills, ambassador for Bills fans, the ambassador for the Bills Mafia. So once again, give him a big round of applause. You guys are out there. You guys are listening. You did a great job. But the Chiefs have, not only do they have more capacity at Arrowhead, it's built differently than what Ralph Wilson Stadium is. It's built, and it holds the sound in better. I'm not saying that that's an advantage. They also have almost close to 8,000 more seats at Arrowhead. And 142.2 decibels is really loud. That is really, really loud. And, hey, we gave it a valiant effort. The only thing that was keeping us, holding us back was Tom Brady throwing it all over the Bills. And the fact that Ralph Wilson Stadium is built more wide open. It's more spread out, so the sound's going to escape a lot easier. In my opinion, just looking at the layouts of both stadiums. So you can tell me what you think about that. We're also going to talk about the Bills, break down the game. What do you think this game, week two loss means for the Bills? It is just week two. I don't think we're going to get all crazy over it. I know I'm not going to overreact over one game. There's 14 more games to go in the season, and there's a lot of problems. This team is very talented. They are very talented, and they can still win a lot of football games this year. So let's not jump off the bandwagon. Let's not jump off the bridge. Let's not get crazy, Bills fans, because we all know there's a lot of you out there who were really excited about yesterday, and I'm saying I was one of them. I was absolutely one of them. But what we got to do as fans, what the team has to do as players, pick yourself off the ground, dust yourself off, and for the players, get back to work. For the fans, there's another game this Sunday against the Dolphins, and it is huge. It is a huge football game. Because I'll tell you something right now, the Bills, if they lose that game against Miami and go 0-2 in the division to start the season, it is not going to be good. Yes, they can recover from it, but it's going to be very tough because then that means you only have four more division games left, and you probably have to win all four of them. So we're putting all the scenarios out there. Plus, you start 1-2. It's not great either. They got to win this game. Go 2-1, stay 1-1 in the division. You never know what's going to happen tonight with the Colts and the Jets. The Jets have a tough defense. Colts are a little soft, but they are at home. And it is Andrew Luck. So we'll see what happens. But once again, Tom Brady is who he is. And, you know, I've been hearing all around town, yeah, we got him, we want Brady, this and that. You know, they cheat, whatever. That whole cheating thing is over, I guess. They just flat out beat the Bills. Flat out beat them. Ran them up and down the field. Couldn't stop Brady. He picked the Bills' defense apart. It was surgical to watch him throw the football yesterday. And what can you do? The Hall of Fame quarterback, probably one of the best, if not the best quarterback to ever play the game. And he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got four Super Bowl rings, MVPs, Super Bowl MVPs. He set a record against the Bills yesterday, 466 yards. A 53-year-old record was broken. The most passing yards against the Bills in 53 years. So there's another record that he's got. And let me tell you, just as all of us said, I said it yesterday, Tom Brady was a buzzkill yesterday. Once again, silencing the rabid crowd for the Buffalo Bills. And they were rocking in the beginning of the game. And let me tell you, that first drive, going down 80 yards, scoring, and then holding the Patriots to a 3-and-out, that crowd was freaking insane. They were insane. But Tom Brady does what Tom Brady does best. He throws touchdowns, and he wins football games, especially against the AFC. And you can think all you want you know, 19 points in the fourth quarter. That's nice. They were playing a lot of zone defense. But defense did kind of step it up in the second half, you know, after the third quarter, shutting Brady down. Patriots only got 3 points in the fourth quarter. That was right at the end when they got the field goal to go up 40-32. Bills had a chance. They got the ball back with 2 minutes left. It was like 2 minutes, 15 seconds. Could have done something. And everybody's seen that picture, the very last pass that was intercepted from Tyrod Taylor with his insane, freakish vertical tipping that pass, which actually wasn't meant for him, it looked like. It was actually supposed to go to a wide-open Robert Woods, who probably would have taken it to the house. But if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a merry freaking Christmas, wouldn't we? And as it goes, there are 14 more games in the NFL season. The Bills can turn this thing around. It's only two games. Just as we are all so high, on such a high last week after they just dismantled the Colts, who were one of the AFC favorites. They go up against the Super Bowl champs. They go up against Tom Brady. They go up against Bill Belichick, and they get beat again. And Rex Ryan said in his press conference today, that he got outcoached, which I completely agree. Because what does Bill Belichick and the Patriots do? They see what you are best at, what your strength is, and they take it away from you. They find a way to neutralize it. What I would have liked to have seen a little bit more was they were having quite a good deal of success running the ball against that Patriots defense in the first quarter. But they go three and out, 5-6 series in a row. The Patriots scored on four of their next six after they went three and out. Before you know it, you're down 21-7. And then you got to play from behind. You know, you got to start throwing the football. Not a recipe for success when you have Tyrod Taylor, who is, I think, is a good quarterback. But is he the kind of quarterback who only made his second start? Are you going to ask him to try and win the game for you? I mean, are we going to put the ball in his hands and be confident in him to win the game? I don't know. He had the opportunity. He had the opportunity to do so at the end of the game and threw a pick, whether it was Sammy Watkins' fault or not. When push came to shove, the chips were down. Tyrod Taylor threw three interceptions today. Was sacked 8 times. Was hit multiple times. Was hurried multiple times. And that's all not his fault. Offensive line did not play well, with the exception of the first quarter. So they got a lot to work on, and they got time. They'll be able to redeem themselves this week. Trust me. Ryan Tannehill is no Tom Brady. For the Dolphins. He is no Tom Brady with that. Not even close. They'll be able to get to him. And Miami has not looked good at all for their first two games. They struggled to beat the Redskins. And they got beat by Jacksonville. That's something you don't want to do. Lose decisively like they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. So you got a chance to win that game. Without a doubt. They just have to cut out the stupid bonehead penalties. And in Rex Ryan's words, a lot of those personal foul penalties, say that 10 times fast, were selfish. A lot of those were on the Patriots' sideline, so they were trying to get in the Bills' heads. You just got to walk away. No matter how amped up you are, you have to realize that you push, you are the aggressor, you're the initiator, you're going to get called every single time. Got to be smarter than that. Got to understand, you take a penalty like that, it's affecting your team negatively. In 15 yards, boom, there you go. One drive, they so many personal foul penalties, the Patriots started within the Bills' 20-yard line. You give Tom Brady half the field and he'll kill you. You give him 20 yards, done. They got to play smarter. And I was saying all week last week, all the talk, all the hype, all the things that the Bills were saying, I said they better carry through. They better win that game against the Patriots or they might as well not even sign their checks. They should be embarrassed. They should. But something like this, if you have the right mentality, it can make you stronger. You learn from your mistakes. You learn from your bonehead penalties. That's life. You live and you learn. Move on. But obviously today, all those guys, they have a sour taste in their mouth. So do I. I mean, I wasn't overly upset watching the game. You kind of get numb to it after 15 years of getting your ass beat by the Patriots, you know? It's kind of like, yep, here we go again. We all thought it was different. We all thought it was going to be different this year against the Patriots, but just like every other time, it's not. Just like every other time, Tom Brady just digs that knife further into our back. And at 38 years old, this guy, he has almost 800 yards passing in two games, 8 touchdowns, because he threw 4 last week, threw 4 this week. It's insane. So he's on a mission, guys. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is on a mission. To destroy the NFL and make just a mockery of the rest of the league because of what he was put through with the Deflategate. Mostly of his doing and his team's doing, but he was absolved of his guilt, sort of. Not in the court of public opinion, but in a federal court. Was absolved. Suspension lifted, we all know. But he doesn't have anybody fooled. You can't go on the podium like he did last year before Super Bowl and have that look on your face. He looked guilty. I mean, people aren't stupid. So let's start. Let's do that first and foremost. I mean, I don't want to get into a whole, did they cheat, did they cheat, did they not cheat debate. I'm just saying. The bear, I guess, right? Well, that's what the Bills did. That's what the NFL did, is they poked the bear again. And it's their own fault. It's the NFL. I know, what did you think was going to happen? You think they were going to get charged with deflating footballs? Goes to show you. Happened once with Spygate. 2007, they went 16-0. Now what's going to happen? Are they going to go 14-2, 15-1, 16-0? Who cares? I guess we'll find out soon, huh? You know, it was a loss. You got to move on. Like I said, all the time, got to move on. Can't dwell on it. 16-game season. Long season. And now we look forward to the game against the Dolphins, which is a very big game. So what I want to know, guys, you can give me a call here, 646-915-9969. That's 646-915-9969. Here on the Buffalo Water Coolers Monday Night Quarterback Show here with G-Money. What I want to know, are the Bills in trouble? Are they in trouble after this game? Or is it just another game they can pick themselves off, dust themselves off, and move on to the Dolphins? That's what I want to know. That's first and foremost. We're going to talk football here. We'll get into the other topics later. But I do have a caller on the Buffalo Water Cooler Sports Talk Radio Show here on Monday Night Quarterback with G-Money. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Alex from Depew.
Is it a buck sighting?
It might be. I don't know if the weather is conducive to sighting, but it might be.
So what's up, man? Question of the night. Well, first of all, your reactions from yesterday, the Bills really did not. It wasn't really as close as the score really showed us. Tom Brady did what Tom Brady did again, Alex. And what do you think? I mean, what are your immediate reactions, and are the Bills in trouble after this game?
Well, first and foremost, I'll answer your second question. Are the Bills in trouble after this game? I'm not going to even be able to think about that just yet. It's only the second game of the season under Rex Ryan and Tyrod Taylor. So this is a game where the Buffalo Bills, the players, the coaches, and everybody were hyped up. Okay, their tires were overinflated, and they went in and they drove over a long roofing nail. It wasn't a tack, it was a big roofing nail, and Tom Brady was the roofing nail and deflated their tires rather quickly.
I like that.
And by the time the Buffalo Bills and the coaching staff and players knew that they were effed, they started putting together a somewhat of a comeback drive until Tyrod Taylor threw the ball a couple inches higher than it should have been and got tipped and was intercepted. I looked at the game as a learning experience. I think the Bills are definitely going to be walking away with this one with their heads low, okay, understandably so, but in a good way. I think that with Rex Ryan, he's the type of coach to get this team going again, especially going against Miami next week. I mean, we have a very good shot. If we beat the Indianapolis Colts the way we did, we have certainly a much better shot at beating the Miami Dolphins next week.
Exactly, and I completely agree with you. You got to move on. It's 16 games in the season. Like I said, pick yourself up, dust yourself off. Got to move on to the Dolphins because that is an absolutely huge game right now. If they lose that game, they go 0-2. They go 0-2 in the division, and that is not a good way to start the season at all.
Well, seriously, not good to start the season by saying that this is a must-win.
That's usually words reserved for
the end of the season when you're 9-7 and trying to fight for a wild card spot. But you're absolutely correct. This is a must-win division game. You're following a division game after another division game with the Patriots. You got to win this game next week because this will just spiderweb from there. If we lose against the Dolphins, Aaron E. Zeppelin will not be very light. It'll be heavy.
Exactly. And it'll be more of a Led Zeppelin, right? Quotation marks.
That's right.
So who do you blame here, Alex? Who do you blame for the loss? I mean, it could be multiple things, but who's your main culprit for the loss yesterday?
Well, number one, I'm blaming the offensive line for the inability to keep Tyrod Taylor somewhat in the pocket. I mean, he was running all over the place yesterday, and you can't be a competent quarterback if you're running all over the place, even if your name is Tyrod Taylor. So first and foremost, the offensive line has to get better. Okay, I'm not even putting any blame on Tyrod Taylor, aside from the fact that he threw the ball a little higher than it should have been on the comeback drive. But saw that touchdown, he was on the run and threw it in the end zone to I forget who it was that caught that pass. Sammy Watkins.
Yep.
So
yeah, Watkins. Yep.
Look at even with yesterday's game, I'm still seeing some really bright things from Tyrod Taylor. Now, can I take something from this whole game and pinpoint one thing that I'm going to blame? I'm going to say probably not. I think that the whole team is out there to be blamed because they were just. Their heads were too big for the game, and I don't think that they took it seriously enough. I think that they thought they were better than the Patriots going in, and they forget. When you go up against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, it doesn't even matter. You get the whole cheating scandal and stuff like that. You still have to come with your guns loaded and ready to shoot. It's not some game where you just slough off and you laugh at the fact that deflated football, this, that, and the other. You got to. It's big boy time. You know, you put your big boy pants on, you play against the big boys, it's time.
Exactly, and it's a sport for men. Football is a sport for men. It's played by grown men. And I did not see that from the Buffalo Bills yesterday, especially in the first quarter. I mean, Aaron Williams, thank God he's okay, but before he got injured, he was an absolute nutcase. You need to keep it together. He had too many times where Edelman got under his skin, and he just went off, and you cannot do that. It's all it is detrimental to your team. You can't slot six personal foul penalties in the first quarter. That is uncalled for. Uncalled for. You can't have that. And I blame that first and foremost on the coach. I blame that on Rex Ryan. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I think he's a very good coach. But he did not have the pulse of his team yesterday. And the reason for all those mistakes, he is first and foremost to blame for that. What are your thoughts there on that?
Well, I'll make this quick because, unfortunately, I do have to go. But I will say that Rex Ryan does an incredible job at getting his team ready for a football game, meaning just getting pumped up for it. And sometimes you get a little over-pumped up. And when that happens and things don't go your way, it's just like any of us. You know, we're only human. And you think that you're going into something and you're the best and you're doing great and you have all these fans behind you pumping you up, and then things don't go your way, you get pissed off. You know, it's like going into a test thinking that you know all the answers, and then you first five questions are something that you never even saw when you studied for, and it pisses you off. So Bills have to be more disciplined. All the penalties they took yesterday, you cannot do that. You want to go to the playoffs, you cannot accrue that many penalties in a football game against New England Patriots. It's just not acceptable. Not acceptable.
They don't need any more help. They don't. I mean, giving them the ball inside the 20 to start their drive. I was saying earlier before you came on, you give him the 50-yard line and he's going to kill you. I mean, what do you think he's going to get when you give him inside the 20? I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. So, but it's another week. Got another game coming up against the Dolphins, man. Real quick before you go, The Bills. Wow, I'm still on Bills mode. Sabres start tonight. Start their preseason tonight against the Wild. Highly anticipated debut as far as preseason is concerned for Jack Eichel, Ryan O'Reilly, all these guys, man. Just give me a real quick gauge on where you're at, man. Where's your excitement here going into the Sabres season real quick?
Well, I was driving in Attica today. Go take care of the old family plots and listening to WGR, and I'm hearing Mike Schoep of the Bulldog saying, Buffalo Sabres preseason hockey on tonight. And I'm like, holy mackerel, preseason hockey already? I'm like, this is great. So my head is in cloud nine right now. I'm really stoked that I'm able to listen to hockey. I was listening to that earlier. And Jack Eichel's playing tonight, and he's going to be centering with Gergensen and Matt Molson, so that's kind of interesting. Ryan O'Reilly will probably play the next game.
Yeah.
Johnson is going to be playing in goal. So it's a lot of young guys. Matt Ellis will be playing today, so we'll get to see him again. So I'm just really excited for the Buffalo Sabres. And for people that know me, I'm more of a hockey guy than football. So I'm really excited for this Buffalo Sabres season to start. I can't wait.
And real quick, one more thing. What do you expect from Eichel this season, like as far as production, as far as what you can expect him goal-wise, points-wise? What do you look to see from him this year, his rookie year?
I'm thinking he's really going to be your guy when it comes to just playing that center position. Last great center that we had was, I can't remember his name now, but that's besides the point. But I mean, we've been complaining for how long now that we needed a good guy under center, and we have him now. I think that he might come close to 30 goals. I think that he's going to be doing much better scoring points and getting the puck to his other players, getting those in the net. You saw what he did in the Prospects Challenge, and then he got the game winner. He's definitely going to shine this fall and winter. He's definitely going to shine. And I have a feeling that he's going to be shutting up a lot of the doubters that he had going into the draft this year with him and McDavid. I think that he's really going to be giving McDavid a run for his money and the doubters. So I'm really excited. I can't wait.
As am I, man. I am thoroughly excited. And it's another thing. It's a wait and see thing. See what he can do. It's only good things for Buffalo. It's going to be exciting. The Bills can, you know, get themselves back on track. I think the Sabres are going to be much better than last year, last 2 years, rather. And we'll see. It's going to be an exciting season for Buffalo sports, man. What do you think?
Go Sabres. Sabres draft Jack Eichel. Peace out.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Alex. Really appreciate it. That was our good friend, Alex Nobles, as we like to call him, the Buck. We used to do Buffalo Bills post-game shows back in the day here on the water cooler, so I appreciate him coming on. A lot of good insight there. And like he said, he didn't completely agree with me, but he said blame it on the whole team. Blame it on the whole team. It was a complete team loss. I mean, they call it some other a complete team win, you know, but that was a complete team loss. And he's completely right. You blame it on the entire team. Can't win every game. Even the Patriots can't win every game. The year they went 16-0 in the regular season, they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. You can't, well, except for the 72 Dolphins. They won every game. It's an aberration. You can't win every game. It's just too hard. The NFL is too good. There's too many good teams. There's too many good players. Coordinators and coaches, I mean, the strategy and the game planning is just incredible. The analytics that go into it, it's just too much. You got to take it week by week, game by game. You look at this game, Bills are going to go over the game tape next couple of days. Can't overreact. What you got to do is you got to fix your mistakes first and foremost. Fix your mistakes. And what you really have to do is show the country that that game beating the Colts was not a fluke. That's what the Bills have to show. But you can't hang your head, even though it was an embarrassing loss to the Patriots. They got thoroughly beat. It wasn't as close as the score indicates. Not even close. That wasn't an 8-point game. I mean, they were down by 24 going into the fourth quarter. So let's be real here. Yes, they had a nice little comeback there. They scored 19 points in the fourth quarter, but it just wasn't enough. Too little, too late. And you move on. It's just too bad because the whole town, the whole area, Western New York was hyped. They were pumped. You could feel the electricity from the stadium. I don't live that far away from Ralph Wilson Stadium. I could hear it. I could hear the crowd out my window. It was that loud. I live probably 5 minutes, maybe a little bit more from Ralph Wilson Stadium. It's incredible. I can hear concerts in there from my house. But holy cow. Such a letdown. But the season is not over, Bills fans. It is not over. And like Alex said here, there's a lot of promise on this team. There's a lot. This is a very, very talented Bills roster. Very talented. So let's not forget that. Yes, Uncle Jim. Uncle Jim texts me, and the cheating. Somebody just will never, ever let it go. You'll never let it go, Uncle Jim. My Uncle Jim texted me from San Diego. So thank you for the texters. If you know me, shoot me a text. We can talk more about the Bills. 646-915-9969. That's 646-915-9969. Monday Night Quarterback here with me, your host, G-Money. We're talking Bills. Pretty much wide open. Let me talk a little Sabres with Alex there. Might talk some baseball. You can just check out the scores around the league real quick. We can recap those games yesterday from the NFL. Right now, if you guys are wondering, you got some Yankees fans out there. You got some Blue Jays fans. We are in Buffalo. The Bisons are an affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays are up 3-0 in the bottom of the fourth. One out in the bottom of the fourth, 3-0 Blue Jays. big series between the Yankees and Blue Jays, only 2.5 games separating those two. Let's go over some scores here real quick. Broncos beat the Chiefs Thursday night, 31-24, on a late fourth quarter TD off of a Jamal Charles fumble. I'm sure Chiefs fans were not happy about that. Panthers edged the Texans 24-17. Texans are 0-2. Can't really find out what they're going to do at quarterback. Steelers rout the 49ers 43-18. Ben Roethlisberger, another very good game. He was 21-27 for 369 yards and 3 touchdowns. Colin Kaepernick was not outdone. He was 33-46 and 335 with 2 TDs. 43-18 Steelers. Buccaneers beat the Saints 26-19. And it is feared that Drew Brees has an injury to his shoulder. So we'll see what comes from that. Jameis Winston won his first game as a pro for the Buccaneers. Vikings 26, Lions 16. Pretty good game there. Bridgewater really didn't do much, but Adrian Peterson, 29 carries for 134 yards. He did fumble the ball once. He fumbled it twice. Once running, once receiving. So he got a lot of yards, but he fumbled the ball twice. Cardinals, 48, Bears, 23. The Cardinals look, even though it is 2 games into the season, the Cardinals look like the real deal. That defense is a beast, and Carson Palmer is still good. Even though he only did go 17 of 24 for 185 yards, he did throw 4 touchdowns, 3 of them to Larry Fitzgerald. He had 8 receptions for 112 yards. Cardinals looking like they might be a team to beat in the NFC. Bengals beat the Chargers 24-19. Browns over the Titans 28-14 at home. Johnny Manziel looked pretty good. He only did throw 15 passes, completed 8 of them, 172 yards, 2 TDs, but he didn't make any mistakes. Browns defense played very well against Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans. Falcons squeaked past the New York Giants 24-20. Matt Ryan, another very good game, 30 of 46 for 363 yards and a touchdown. He looks like he's back to his form of a couple of years ago. Eli Manning, 27 of 40, 292 and 2 TDs. The Redskins beat the Rams 24-10. The Rams are a very confusing team. They beat the Seahawks last week and lose to the Redskins. Jaguars, in a stunner, upset the Dolphins 23-20 at home. Raiders, another upset, beat the Ravens 37-33, and that means that the Ravens start the season 0-2. Cowboys beat the Eagles in Philly 20-10. The Chip Kelly offense looks putrid. Packers, Sunday Night Football, 27 over the Seahawks, 17, 27-17 Packers. Seahawks start the season 0-2. And the Bills lose to the Patriots 40-32. Tom Brady, 38 of 59, 466 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Rob Gronkowski had 7 receptions for 113 yards and 1 touchdown. Tyrod Taylor, 23 of 30, 242, 3 touchdowns, but also had 3 interceptions. LeSean McCoy had 89 yards on 15 carries. Robert Woods was your leading receiver, 3 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. So the Bills' offense did come to life in the fourth quarter, but like we said, it was a little too little too late for our beloved Buffalo Bills. And one other note, right now going on in Monday Night Football, Colts Jets are scoreless. First quarter has just started. It's about 11:30 left in first quarter. Colts do have the ball at their own 11-yard line, 2nd and 10. So like we said, another big game next week against the Miami Dolphins. And I can just look here real quick. Right now, the early line is that Miami is a 2.5-point favorite over the Bills. Both are going in 1-1. That's only because they're a home team. Ryan Tannehill's been having an okay season. Right now he's 52-78, 585, 3 touchdowns. Other than that, there's really nothing to really say about the Dolphins. I mean, they've really struggled stopping anybody. Apparently, Ndamukong Suh's ignored all of the defensive calls in yesterday's game and kind of just went rogue, I guess they said. I was looking on ESPN. But it is what it is. We all know what kind of player he is. He's a real class act there down in Miami. Update on Sabres preseason. Wild just scored. It is 1-0 Wild with 6:48 left in the first period. Let's see what Jack Eichel watch. See what Eichel's done. He's got any shots on goal, anything like that. Nope, looks like he doesn't have any shots on goal yet. But it is just a preseason game. Once again, guys, you want to call in 646-915-9969. Talking about that Bills loss to the Patriots, 40-32. What you think that means for Buffalo? If you say, don't worry about it, don't overreact, it's just week two. Or is it an embarrassing, deflating, for lack of a better word, loss that the Bills suffered at the hands of New England yesterday? What are your thoughts? 646-915-9969. We've got about a half hour here left in the show. Love to hear your thoughts on what is to come for the Bills or what you think might happen for the Bills. Because that was not a good look. Was not a good look at all for the Bills. But like we said before, it is just one game. Can't overreact. Rex Ryan's got to get back to the drawing board. See what he can do. Because this Dolphins aren't they're not a terrible team. Yes, they've struggled. They've looked not great in their first two games, but it's still going to be a tough game. It's a division game. I mean, Miami's got a good defense, even though they haven't shown it first 2 weeks. They have a good one on paper. Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback. He's capable. But that defense can get to him. They've shown that in the past. You can get to Tannehill. You can get him flustered. He's still young. He's not Tom Brady. He's not even Peyton Manning. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Drew Brees. He's none of these guys. I mean, he could be an up-and-coming star in the league, but, I mean, he's still about middle of the pack as far as quarterbacks are concerned. Guys like that, you can get to. So the bandwagon is not on fire, Bills fans. Our hair is not on fire, or whatever you want to call it. Nothing's on fire. The dumpster is not on fire. The Bills are not a dumpster fire. Not even close. The Eagles might be, but the Bills aren't. So we got to let this play out one game at a time, guys. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a tough league. It's tough to win in the NFL, especially against a team like the New England Patriots. I'd like to see a little bit more progress from the offensive line because they did not play well yesterday. And that's unfortunate. Because you could see in the fourth quarter when Tyrod Taylor had some time, I mean, he was making some plays. Even in that first quarter, that first drive by the Bills, Tyrod Taylor had time. They were running the ball well. He can make some plays. Most quarterbacks in the NFL can make plays if you give them time. Offensive line's got to get better. They got to get communication. They got to communicate with each other better. They got to protect. Got to pass block better because the Patriots had 8 sacks on Taylor yesterday. And not all of them were his fault. It's not good pass protection. Another thing that's not a good look. And that's too bad, too. Because we thought it was going to be something special. We really did. But like my grandfather always said, that's what we got. That's what we get for thinking. That's what we get for thinking. Isn't that something? You know, I kind of feel a little fatalistic here, but the downer. Can't get away from it. Can't shake it. There's nothing we can do about it. Just got to move on to the next game. I know I sound like a broken record here, but got to do what's... Dwelling on the past and dwelling on yesterday's game is going to do nothing but, you know, tear somebody apart. You can't dwell on it. It is what it is, sports fans. It is what it is. And it is still 3-0 Blue Jays over the Yankees. I think it's the fifth inning now. But I want to hear your thoughts, guys. I want to hear your thoughts. What do you think? Is this a black eye for the Bills? Is this a bad move for the Bills? Was it a bad look? Was it embarrassing? Were you embarrassed? Or is this just another game? I know it was against the Patriots, but what are your reactions here coming off of this thing yesterday? 646-915-9969. We do have a caller into the Buffalo Water Coolers Monday Night Quarterback. Is this Rob? Is this a slap shot?
Yes, it is.
What's happening, brother? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How you doing tonight?
Well, we're talking Bills, man. That's thoroughly getting whooped by the Patriots yesterday. Me, personally, I don't think it was a good look. I think it was an embarrassing loss. But that's what you get when you rile up the Patriots, I guess. What are your thoughts?
Here was my take on it at the end of it. You started out really strong. You had that great, beautiful 80-yard drive. You held them to a 3-and-out. You had a punt, had a great run back, had that wiped out from a penalty. Okay, and then that's when it unraveled at that point. It was really weird because it took a really small thing to really unravel it. But what happened was, for about the next, I want to say like 10, 15 minutes of game time, the Patriots owned it. For the rest of the game, you can point out all the faults, but you played them pretty much to a draw. Those were the two touchdowns right there, or three touchdowns, that pretty much turned the game. I mean, from the second half on and into the fourth quarter, they cleaned it up and pretty much were playing them even. But they got undisciplined, got behind, and that's the Patriots game. You get ahead by two, and then they're content to just play even with you the rest of the game. They just want to get up. They're a front-running team. And they made enough stupid mistakes to let them get in front, and it was the same thing again. Although you did learn something pretty big, and that's, I don't think this Bills offense is designed to come from behind.
Exactly, I completely agree. It's it's something, though. What can you really say, really? What can you say? I mean, the Patriots, I don't think, really took their foot off the gas until the beginning of the fourth quarter. I mean, Tom Brady threw it 59 times. 59 times. Like, in a normal game, I don't think he's throwing it 59 times.
I don't think they ever took their foot off the gas. I mean, I was honestly very surprised they kicked the field to make it 8 points. That felt like the perfect Belichick go for it on fourth down, end the game right there. I was shocked they kicked the field goal.
Exactly.
I mean, how often does he did something very uncharacteristic, and that was they gave him a chance. Normally, you don't even get that last drive against them.
Nope.
And they're a great front-running team. They were undisciplined, and they were outcoached. And quite frankly, it unraveled, and it just they never really got back into it. Do I still think that the Patriots are that much better than them? Probably not. Do I think that maybe if it doesn't go so undisciplined right from the start, maybe there's a better game of it? Because I still think they're much closer to the Patriots than that game looked. I think the final score is more indication of probably how close the teams are than really how it was for most of the game. I think a one-score, two-score game is about right between the two of them. I don't, although not to really go completely on a tangent, though, I was completely unimpressed with the Dolphins when I watched the 4 o'clock game. So I'm not as worried about them as I was initially going into the season, too. But are they as good as they looked against the Colts or as bad as they looked against the Patriots? They're probably somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, and I think they can improve, and it just makes the game against the Dolphins on Sunday that much bigger. You can't start the season 0-2 in the division. You just can't do it. because then you only have four more games in the division, and you'll have to win all four of them without a doubt. You know, and to go 1-2 in the conference to start the season too, not a good look at all. Not a good look at all. And the deciding factor, you know, go figure, newsflash, Tom Brady is good. He's just flat out friggin' good. Hey, there's no two ways about it. There's 466 yards, four touchdowns. I mean, the guy didn't throw a pick. He is who he is. He's the best quarterback we have ever seen in our lives, I think. That's just my opinion, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop him. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the argument has always been, is Brady the system, or is good? Is Brady good, or is the system what's making him? And I think it's both. That system is designed to make him look good, and it's the perfect system for him. Because here's the thing. The Bills defense, that did not – I got really kind of – been bombarded with that, well, this just means the defense isn't that good. They gave up 500 yards against the Patriots. They gave up 500 yards against, like you were saying, a generationally good quarterback. Okay, that was not Andrew Luck looked like a fool out there. Okay?
Yeah.
And Andrew Luck is an outstanding quarterback. It took Brady's precision on those short passes, Brady taking what they gave him, and it worked. Now, they gave him too much, but it's not a quarterback. Tannehill's not Brady. Eli Manning the week after that is not Brady. Those teams are not going to be able to do that to them. That defense is still a top five defense. It's literally took the best quarterback in the game right now to do that. Brady did that to the Seattle Seahawks last year. One of the top two teams in the league. They made the Ravens look foolish in the playoffs. I mean, it's not – that's just what they do.
Exactly. And that's exactly what you have to take away from this, Rob. That's what you have to take away with it. And that's what a lot of Bills fans feel like jumping off the roof right now. Guys, it's week two. They just got beat by four-time Super Bowl champion – multiple MVP, Super Bowl MVP, Tom friggin' Brady. He does that to everybody. It's not a new thing. So you can't get all upset about it. You got 14 more games in the season. You got the Dolphins coming up Sunday, and you got to take it to them. And I think that they can get to Tannehill because they have in the past. This defense is good enough to be able to get to Tannehill because he holds on to the ball a lot longer than Tom Brady does. Let me tell you something right now. Absolutely. They're going to be able to make plays on that offense in Miami. And like you said, I was watching some of that Miami game. They did not look good, and they didn't look good in week one when they beat the Redskins. They didn't. That's a team that can be had. And for right now, what I'm hearing, I don't know if you've heard this too, like there's some insurrection going on in there inside the Dolphins locker room. I guess Ndamukong Suh is just like a loose cannon. He's rogue. He was completely ignoring the defensive calls yesterday, which is – Doesn't surprise me.
That doesn't shock me. So it's Albert Haynesworth all over again?
Yeah, pretty much.
So we got $100 million.
Right? Yeah, it's a good move there. Let's move on here. I mean, we can get excited enough about the Bills, but it is what it is. They lost. They got to move on. Sabres hockey started today, preseason against the Wild. Jack Eichel's first game as a professional, and, you know, it's preseason, but what are your expectations for the Sabres? What are your expectations for Eichel? Let's just start there. I mean, it should be an exciting season, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it should be an exciting season. I mean, it's one of those strange things where, unlike football, you have, like, 2 to 3 days of preseason, and then you're already playing a preseason game. So, I mean, they're already out there playing after only 3 days of training camp, and it's probably a good thing the game's not on TV because it's probably be one of the ugliest games you ever saw. players not working together in lines before, still implementing a system. But I'm excited just to see what's here because all I've been playing with all summer is what exactly are the line combinations going to look like. Because there are just so many things that you can look at right now. I mean, guys that can play down the middle, guys that can play on the wing, the same guys can play down the wing. You can put, I'm just saying, for example, You have Ennis who can play down the middle and on the wings. You could even consider on his first season putting Eichel on the wing instead of trying to make him play down the middle, that much responsibility. You
yep.
can play you could play Gergensen down the middle or the wing. I mean, he was drafted as a winger. It was more Nolan that put him into the center. I mean, he's a good center, but they're deep at center now. That's a position of strength now. I'm anxious to see what Bylsma's approach is, because this could be a team that is very, very fast moving, very puck control, very high pressure pursuit in the offensive end, defense coming in on the rush. They have the defensive talent to do that. They have the guys, most of the team is signed for long term, so you can start getting some real chemistry put together. I'm expecting them to compete for a playoff spot. Do I think they're going to make one? I don't think so. But I think they're going to be, end of March, they're still going to be in it. I think it's probably going to take too long for the team to gel together to really be something special this year. But, you know, it's going to be fun.
Absolutely. With all the speed and the talent on this team, and Sabres fans have to understand, this is a very young team. It is a very young team. But they are also very talented. They went out, spent some money. They did almost exactly what we thought they were going to do. I mean, 2 years of losing, they kept the talented kids like Pezik and them down in Rochester, right? They didn't pick up any huge price free agents until this offseason because this was the year. Picking up Eichel, trading for O'Reilly, you know, getting Vander Kane, trading for him. They made moves for the future, and the future is now. And like you said, it was so much fun to go over the summer and just go over what line combinations are there because it's so versatile. And I guess tonight Eichel's playing on the playing center with Molson and Gergensen's on the wing to start, so that should be interesting. That's a pretty interesting combination. What do you think of that?
That's a very interesting one. You got Molson who's a down low player. You have Eichel who's just a best setup man and Gergensen, who's never going to be stop chasing that puck. So he creates the turnovers. Eichel moves it to Molson, then Molson pops it in the net. That's what Lisa thought. Or Eichel can, you've got a heck of a shot, too. I mean, they're just great. It's a great skating line. And that could be an interesting line. Now, I don't think that's your number one line yet. That's what makes it even more interesting to me, is that could be a huge mismatch on a number two or number three line out there.
Exactly.
So it reminds me a little bit of when Afinoganov, Vanek, and Roy had that line together, and they were the third line. Vanek had 43 goals because he was playing against the other team's third lines, and no one thinks of Vanek as a third line player. But that's just how deep it was at that point. They're going to be three lines deep, really talented. It's kind of funny. As excited as I am to see Eichel this year, I'm even more excited to see what Reinhart does. Because every report I hear is that he took everything they told him and just went with it. He put on the muscle and the weight he needed to do. He studied every film he needed to do, and every video I've seen of him, every interview I hear, and he just looks ready to just tear it up this year. And that, to me, it could be the biggest thing on this team is, as great as we hope and think Eichel could be, if you're going too deep with superstars at center, and you even know it's going to be more than that, because you know O'Reilly's going to be top two center.
Yep.
So he's here for another 7 years. That's now three deep at center. And You almost have center to really have success. I mean, when did it finally get away from Pittsburgh? Was when they finally lost their third center.
Yeah, Stahl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And just while you were talking, I was thinking of how awesome a line would be with O'Reilly centering Evander Kane and Tyler Ennis. That would just be ridiculous. And then you got, like you said, Eichel. Well, right now, Eichel with Molson and Gergensen's, and, you know, Reinhardt centering. I mean, who could it be? Foligno and Gianta? I mean, that could be good, too. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
There's so many options. There's so many options. And your fourth line really wouldn't be that bad. It really wouldn't.
No, and I mean, I'm pretty sure you're going to see Foligno on that fourth line.
Sure.
But that if you wanted to see a guy that you should try to emulate, and I know it's a weird one to bring up again, to me, if he has a successful career, he's Steve Ott. That's the type of player he is. That's the hardworking, the not, I don't want to say you an instigator, but agitator maybe would be better. If he can play physical, he could be a great checking line. You could see Foligno part of a shutdown line, and that's something I don't remember seeing here since Pekka was having a really good shutdown line.
Sure, exactly. I mean, it's just thinking about a guy, Johan Larsson, who stepped up his game immensely last season. He stepped up, I mean, his forechecking ability, it was a 180 from two seasons ago to last season. And having a guy like that at center, centering him, Foligno and Delorier, I mean, like you said, that could be a bruising, shutdown fourth line. I mean, it's a very exciting to think about. And I think what it all comes down to, first and foremost for me, is the goaltending. I mean, are they going to have the goaltending that's going to be able to have them contend every year? I mean, what are your thoughts there? Every game, rather.
This is one of those things where I wish I knew Leonard better than I did, because I think they have the goaltending that could be good. I think they're going to have the defense. I think they're going to be as talented as many of the teams in the league. If the problem is it's just going to be to where they're ready yet. I mean, player for player, I don't know who can be matched. I mean, there's very few that can match the Sabres. I mean, it's Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay might be facing a team that's falling apart from money reasons. But I can't find a weakness in this team right now. And if anything, it's what you were saying. It's a young team and inexperienced, and that's going to be their weakest point. But beyond that, I don't see any game being boring. Even if they're losing, we're going to be upset they're losing, but we're really going to just want to see what we got. It's been 2 years. It's kind of like show your cards.
Yeah.
we bet everything was going around. Show what you got at this point.
Exactly. And in a way, it's actually, I mean, this might sound like weird and kind of backwards-ish, but it's actually okay to me if they make mistakes. I mean, because they're still young, you know? And it's a learning experience. I mean, Eichel, if he gives up a, you know, gives up the puck, you know, in the neutral zone, and they go back and score. I mean, that's a learning experience for a kid who's only 18. I mean, he's not going to get it right away. I mean, he's uber talented, and he's a freak of an athlete and a, you know, physical specimen, but he's still only 18 years old, and he's going to make mistakes. People are going to have to understand that and not be like, oh, he's a bust, because you know how the fans around here could be.
Yes. Well, just listening to the games tonight, Minnesota's first goal is pretty much on him. He went in, made a great move, got stripped, and I think it was Granlund went right back and popped it in the net. That's a mistake. I mean, I'm happy he makes that mistake in the preseason, but I hate to say it again. I just want to see what they got. I mean, you've made every move. There's been no move where I've been upset. There's been moves where I've been like, maybe it was overpaying, maybe it was something along those lines, but every move is interesting to me. Evander Kane is like icing. They were interesting for this season even before that trade. They were, because you knew they were going to finish in that 30th spot. I mean, yes, we made it nervous, but, you know, they were so bad last year. For them not to have finished in the last spot would have been a shock.
Yeah.
But you knew they were going to get Eichel, and you were going to get Eichel or McDavid. You knew they were going to move for someone, and then Evander Kane just kind of popped up. I mean, no one would have thought that was a trade they were even looking to make.
Exactly.
So you have that one just pop up. You knew that O'Reilly had been one they've been talking about for 2 years, even before he signed that. That offer sheet with the Flames. That was a guy that they were like, that was being coveted by this organization. Even Darcy was coveting him. And with every mistake he made, you knew he was after him. But I think it just had to wait till you had the pieces to move for something like that.
Exactly. And just speaking to how bad they were last year, I mean, their puck possession stats and their shots against as opposed to their shots for, I mean, it wasn't even close. Like, they were 30th in the league, and it wasn't even close. It was like over 1,000 shots away from the 29th team. That's how bad they were. That's how many shots they gave up. And for the goalies to play as well as they did was incredible. I mean, I did not see that from any of these guys that they brought in. None of them. And for them to, you know, make it interesting at the end there, you know, got us all a little bit nervous, you know, the ones who were pro-tank. But, you know, it paid off. Like you said, I mean, we got Kane. We got O'Reilly. We got Eichel. We got Reinhart. We got Bogosian. We got Pesek. There's a lot to freaking be excited about here. And you said, just going back, they're going to contend for a playoff spot but not make one. Where do you see them finishing the season? I know it's a preseason, and it's always – this is what we always do. We always go overboard in the beginning of the season and just make picks. So what do you think?
Well, ultimately, when it comes to the playoffs in the NHL, you got to look at who you think may not be making it next season. Who do you think this season doesn't make the playoffs? So where do you think they're falling around it? And a lot of it has to do with how I think the other teams are going to do as well. So you look at in the conference, I don't think Boston's going to be contending for a playoff spot. I don't think New Jersey is going to be contending for a playoff spot. Toronto is looking like the Sabres did the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And with just that, I mean, just with I already named four or five teams, you could easily see them being at ninth or tenth in the conference and contending for that one of those, well, now they're wild card spots. But it's a conference that I think is going to set up well for them to have a chance. So I think maybe they could be the first or second team not making the playoffs this year.
So around ninth. Yeah, I think they could. I think they'll be right around there, eighth all season. I think they have the talent. And with Leonard, I think he's going to be better than what people think he is. And let's not forget, he's what, 26? That's it, right?
Yeah.
26? That's nothing. He's got a lot to learn. He's got a lot of growth. So you obviously can go over that more when you start your shows with the Sabres. I just wanted you to get your thoughts there real quick. But let's flip the script. Let's go back to the Bills. And before we go here, I want you to give all of those Bills fans out there, because I already did before you came on, a reason not to jump off the roof and not to jump off the bandwagon. I know it's only week two, but you know how high we were after week one when they just thoroughly trounced the Colts. Now they got, you know, that they got beat bad by the Patriots. So why shouldn't it be fatalistic? Why shouldn't people be jumping off the bandwagon yet?
Because the schedule is about to get very easy. And they're having one of the easiest schedules coming up. So let's go with the fact that you have a very tough game against Miami, and then you don't have another tough game until you go into after the bye, until you have to start going on the road at night. And even that's the Jets. Opponents this year had a 0.48 winning record last year. The schedule is just about to get to lighten up. If you look at it in 2 weeks and you get out of that first quarter at 3-1, I have no fear about how this game's going to go. Maybe it shows you you're not ready yet to contend for the division. Maybe that's the point. But just remember, the Patriots were 0-2 last year, and they got trounced by the Chiefs. And I don't think any one of us thinks the Chiefs is really that great a team. It's not ready after 2 weeks to say anything definitive.
Let's enjoy being Bills fans. For once. Let's enjoy it. I'm sorry for those of you who were listening, and I had my phone on mute, so I apologize about that. My microphone was on mute. But let's not jump off the bandwagon here, guys. Let's not do that. Because that's no fun to be stressed the entire season. That's no fun. What fun is that? Let's have some fun for once for a football season. One bad game does not make a bad quarterback. Not even close. Like I said, every quarterback has a bad game. You're going to have bad games. It's a grind, people. It's a grind. The NFL season is a grind. It is tough. It is not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be winning. That's why only one team wins a championship every year. One out of 32. If it was easy, everybody would win. Everybody would play. But that's not how it is. This season was supposed to be fun. So let's make it fun. Let's not go nuts. Let's not burn jerseys. Let's not say Tyrod Taylor sucks because he doesn't. One game, one bad game. Let's stop being the Bills fans that the entire country thinks we are. Because we're not. We're loyal. We're not dumb. We're loyal. Let's remember that. Let's not go crazy, people. Let's have some fun with this season because that's what it's supposed to be. Let's think about the Dolphins. Let's have faith that Rex Ryan has a plan for next week against the Dolphins. He's a good coach. I think he does. He's going to have his players ready. And believe you me, they're going to come out with a different attitude next week. Don't you forget about that. This season is not over after 2 weeks. If it was week 14, that'd be another question. That'd be another story. But it's not. It's week 2. There's no reason for the overreaction that I've been reading on social media. None. Especially on the Bills Mafia page. You guys got to calm down. Let's look forward to the Dolphin game. Let's get ready for that. Let's have some fun watching football. It's a game. It's supposed to be fun. I know we haven't won, been in the playoffs in 15 years, but it's supposed to be fun. It's a game. It's entertainment. Yes, when your team's losing, it's not fun, but good Lord, that's our team. It's the Bills. City lives and dies by this team. Let's have some fun. Let's enjoy ourselves. Because this season was supposed to be different. And it should be. And it's going to be. Just because the Bills lose to the Patriots doesn't mean that the season is over. Because everybody loses to the Patriots. Newsflash, they are good. Tom Brady is good. Bill Belichick is good. They're all the best at what they do. Let's not forget about that. You see him again in November, Monday Night Football. That's not going to be an easy game either, but you get to redeem yourselves, Bills. So let's have some fun with this. And let's not go crazy. Once again, guys, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Coca-Cola and Paula's Donuts, for supporting the Buffalo Water Cooler and Trenton White Sports Media. Like to thank Alex for coming on tonight. Like to thank Slapshot Rob. And I'm not going to give you a prediction with the Dolphins this week. I'm just going to say have some fun. Have some fun. Watch the game. And let's see what happens. All right, guys? Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for those who called in. We'll see you next week. Same bad time, same channel, 8 o'clock next week from Monday Night Quarterback. We'll be breaking down the Bills-Dolphins game. It'll be okay, Bills fans. It'll be okay. I'll see you on the flip side.